Merry Christmas, everybody. Weren't the kids as cute as they could possibly be? Someone asked me if Jonathan borrowed one of my suits. There's levels of rudeness that is the highest of all. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, to chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them." We look and we hear a story here, a biblical story of an account that took place 2,000 years ago. An amazing event as far as in the history of this universe, of what God has accomplished. I look and I think of how neat it would be to discover something. Wouldn't that be neat? I look and I have been to places like Niagara Falls, and I think, what would have been like to be the person that came from Europe and just was traveling up through New York and came to the Canadian border there, which wasn't the Canadian border at that time, but you came up there and just saw a waterfall like that. Or being those first people to go into Yosemite Valley and be able to see something like that. Or to be able to discover something that is of incredible importance as far as throughout history. Someone like Alexander Fleming, who back on September 28th, my wife's birthday, 1928, she looks great for her age. No, just kidding. There was this man at St. Mary's Hospital in London who accidentally had left his little petri dish out there, you know, just forgot to put the lid on it. And so mold grew in it. And inside this petri dish was filled with bacteria. There was a halo around that area of mold where it had killed the bacteria. And from that, he discovered penicillin, which would save hundreds of thousands of lives. And you look at that and you think, how neat must it have been for him to be there and be like, why is that happening? Why is it like that? And then finding the discovery. Or someone like in U.S. history, like Benjamin Franklin. I started looking at his life. It's amazing. He invented a harmonica, this musical instrument that would later be played by Beethoven and Mozart. Invented the Franklin stove so that that the heat would stay within the house and not go straight up the chimney. He invented the lightning rod. Remember that? Kite, a key on it. And houses were burning down and because the lightning would hit. And he invented the lightning rod from that and would set up a rod and take it down into the ground 10 feet and saved many people's lives as well as houses. Invented the bifocals. Some of you might be wearing them today. Be thankful for him. And then other things, like he discovered the Gulf Stream going across the Atlantic because he was wondering why in some directions it took longer to get to the United States than in other directions going back. And so Gulf Stream, mapped it out. He was the main guy behind daylight savings time just because he thought it was ridiculous that it got darker at certain times of the day. Invented the odometer when he was Postmaster General in 1775. He just invented stuff. He just discovered stuff. He invented stuff and said, oh, if I just discovered one cool thing, it would be neat. But you look at the history of every discovery that's ever been made, and there was nothing that came even close to what we're reading about here. Here's these shepherds. And they're out there in their field keeping watch over their flock. Nobody thinks highly of shepherds. I mean, these were just guys that were out there, and they're watching these sheep, these incredibly dumb sheep. They're telling them where to go. They're telling them where the grass is. They're telling them what water to drink. They're protecting them from any animals. But you have to figure that there would come a point of being a shepherd where you just think, man, I didn't pick the greatest occupation. Out there in the middle of the night, whether it's incredibly cold or hot during the day, being there and taking care of the sheep and getting frustrated with it all. And these guys are there and they're keeping watch over their sheep. And it tells us that all of a sudden there was an angel of the Lord that stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them and they were greatly afraid. We don't know exactly what that would have looked like, but we know from other accounts that there must have been just this brightness of light that was just breathtaking to look at. Something where you're there and you're out in the field and you're just taking care of your sheep and this angel of the Lord comes before you and this light is shining around them and they're scared. What is that? What is taking place? And the angel says to them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. To hear a voice coming from a light that is shining like that. And the angel says, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What words to hear. Being out there and hearing an angel say, there is a Savior born in the city of David in Bethlehem, and it is Christ the Lord. The King of kings and the Lord of lords has become a man. To hear this word from God, and it says, this will be a sign to you, you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Amazing. Hearing this as far as this is how you're going to find him. You're going to find this babe, and he's going to be wrapped in swaddling cloths there, and he's going to be lying in a manger. We're told that there was no room for him in the inn. The entrance of God Almighty into this world. The history of redemption coming to this pinnacle as far as Christ the Lord being born. Look, and we have two kids, and we picked a hospital based on where Tasha would have her own room, guaranteed. And where they had the best ice. And we looked, and this was something where it's like, oh, man, the place has incredible ice. We should go there. Get your own room. And you have a baby today, and they, it's just amazing what they do. The cleanliness of what's there, the nurses that are around. There was a little complication with Jonathan, and the nurse pushed a button, and there was probably 10 people within 20 seconds in that room. And you look and you see all that we're blessed with, and you think of Christ coming to earth, being born in a stable, animals all around, laid in a feeding trough. And you look and you think, what an amazing God we serve. And these shepherds are there, and all of a sudden they hear this heavenly host. Gives you the idea as we look at in other parts of Scripture where it's 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands and thousands. But a voice is praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. And you look and you think, what a discovery. Being there out in the field, not expecting this, and having God send his angels to come and to bring this message and to praise him in one accord as they say, glory to God in the highest. It says, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. See, it's not just a discovery that was taking place, but they know that it is God that had made this known to them. They weren't looking. They weren't looking for a Savior. They weren't looking for a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. God made this known to them. And so it tells us that they made haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now you think about this and you think, the greatest privilege as far as having God come and reveal this to them and to bring these shepherds to see Christ lying in a manger. That picture visibly just fixed in their mind, the voices of the angels, all that took place for the rest of their lives. Just amazed at what God had done. And you think about that, and we hear the story of Christmas, and some of our reaction when we think about Christmas is it's that time of holidays, it's that time of buying gifts, it's that time of Christmas trees and eggnog and hot apple cider and eating together and singing Christmas carols. And you look at it, and there's all these things that we do at Christmas time, but the bottom line is it comes down to we celebrate because it's the most amazing gift that God could have ever given us, his son. A demonstration of his love for us. And we look and we say, how do we respond to these things? Well, let's look at how these people responded. It says, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. When they had seen him, their response was to go and to make widely known this thing, this saying, which was told them, the gospel. They went and they just started telling everybody. They just wanted to tell everybody. Can you imagine being them? Here they are, they had the light shine there and the angel appear and the voice come from heaven and hearing the heavenly host and going and finding Christ there wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in the manger just as the angel had said. And they go and they just start telling, everybody. There's enthusiasm that's there, which immediately makes them say, I want to tell you what was told to me. What was told to me. That is the natural response for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that knows the gospel, that understands that Christ came to this earth on Christmas. He lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, to pay the price for our sins and to give us all of his righteousness so that we could have salvation through him. It's no wonder that as believers, we go and proclaim the good news. We go and tell everybody the things that have been told us. And all those who heard it marveled at the things which had been told them by the shepherds. So first, in response to Christmas, the shepherds go and tell everybody. And everybody that hears about it, they marvel at what these shepherds are telling them. Amazed. I pray that that would be what takes place in our hearts as far as thinking about the majesty of what has occurred, the incredible gift that God's given us in His Son, that would make us process to say, we must go tell everybody, this is the greatest news that anybody could ever hear. And there's millions of people that are in the world that think of Christmas as a time where there's more business, not realizing that Christ the Lord was born on that day. And hearing about it, even as we think about it this evening, you could hear the Christmas story hundreds of times, but hearing as far as Christ the Lord coming and being born as a man and laid in a manger, you could hear it hundreds of times and still marvel every time at it. Still marvel. When you think about it, God, creator of all that exists, as we looked at last week, the entire universe, all of the billions of galaxies and the billions of stars and the billions and billions and billions of planets and all that exists, God who created all of it, who spoke these things into existence, became a baby. And we look at our little baby and she's totally dependent upon us. She can't do anything unless we help her. There and just, I mean, from the time she wakes up to the time she goes to bed and all throughout the night, we just take care of her. And you think of the creator of all that exists being born, having stomach aches, crying. I'm certain that he didn't cry in the same depraved nature that my daughter cries. There's a difference, you know, moms? The mad cry versus the I hurt cry. I'm sure that the mad cry never was there, but the I hurt cry was definitely there. And you look at it, and it ought to make us marvel. It tells us that Mary kept all these things in her heart. She pondered them. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. It wasn't that she just heard these things and just went about her business, and she just pondered at it. Think of being Mary, just a young girl, an angel coming to her and saying, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women," and hearing this angel coming to give a message like that. The angel saying to her, Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. Behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary's response is, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" How can this be? And then having this angel say, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you, and therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." The angel went on and said, "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. But this experience for her, and then going through the pregnancy, thinking all of these things, what are the people around me thinking? But knowing God's doing something. God put this baby inside of me. And he told me things like, "You'll call his name Jesus. He's going to be great. He'll be the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him a throne, the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end, never. He will be the Son of God." And you could picture that young girl being there just pondering these things. Looking, if it was any one of the ladies here in our church, you would just think, why me? Why and how? And God is doing something amazing, miraculous. He's causing these things to happen. He's bringing the Son of God into the world through me. And she just pondered it. She just thought about it over and over again. The whole process. I'm sure the shepherds got there and said, this is what happened. We were there in the field and an angel came about us and the glory shone all around and this is what was said. And then all of the angels together said, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. This is what was said. And she just sat there just processing all of these things and just pondering them in her heart. She treasured it. She looked at this and her thoughts towards God must have been so incredibly great. Thinking of the angel saying, for with God nothing will be impossible. Nothing's impossible with Him. Nothing's impossible. If you were Mary, you'd have great thoughts about God, wouldn't you? Just looking and saying, He does whatever He desires to do, and He's brought us a Savior who's Christ the Lord. That's what the angel said, a Savior who's Christ the Lord. And so she pondered these things in her heart. I prayed that in response to this, that we would go and tell everybody and that we would marvel at it and that we would ponder these things in our heart, that it wouldn't be something that's just a fleeting thought that just passes by, that we would look and say, He's amazing. What God has done for us is amazing. None of us could ever earn eternity in heaven. None of us could ever fulfill all righteousness. Or any righteousness. None of us could ever remove our sins. No matter how hard we tried, none of us could ever remove our sins. And yet, God came and became a man and lived a perfect life and died on the cross so that He could take our sins and hurl them into the depths of the sea. Remember them no more. Wash us as white as snow. God, help us to ponder these things in our hearts. And then it tells us that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They left that place just glorifying and praising God. They were praising Him. Their hearts were at a place where just worship was coming forth. They may have been singing, maybe they weren't singing. But they were praising Him. They were praising Him. We can praise Him in song, but we can praise Him just going about our day and living for Him. I was on the computer today corresponding with one of our missionaries, Charity, who is in Sudan. And Sudan right now is in a place where, well, for 30-some years, there was a brutal war going on. Brutal. And they've been in this peace process for the past several years, waiting for this January where there's going to be an election to decide whether or not the North and the South will stay together or whether they'll be separated again. Muslims in the North, Arab Muslims in the North, black, primarily Christians in the South, oil fields in the South, but the Nile and the North, there's so much involved with all this, incredible amounts of money. But she's waiting and to see what happens in this election on January 8th. And I was typing back and forth with her, and I said, so what are you going to do? Are you going to leave or are you going to stay? And she said, I'm staying. She said, I only know of maybe one or two groups in the entire country that are staying, but I'm staying. This young girl in her 20s that's there in just 50 miles south of Darfur, saying, I'm staying. And I said, what brought you to that place of deciding that you were going to stay? And she said, I want these people to know that we love them so much that we're not going to leave them when the war comes. We're going to stay with them. She goes, I want them to see the love of Christ in us towards them, that we won't leave when everybody else leaves because Christ is in us. And my reply to her was, that you typing that is louder than any praise song. You see it within somebody. It's just, he is worth more than anything. He's worth more than anything. And our lives can reflect that on a daily basis. We can leave this place wanting to tell everybody about what we've seen and heard, marveling at it, pondering these things in our hearts, and glorifying him and praising him in song, in joy, in the way that we live, having our thoughts go to a place of who is like him, who's like him. Our God is amazing. He does amazing things. He has saved me. He gave me a Savior who is Christ the Lord. I could have never earned salvation. No matter how many good things I thought I did, I could never have earned it. But he's given me a Savior who is Christ the Lord, who's fulfilled all righteousness and has taken all of my sins away as a result of his work on the cross. And find ourselves glorifying him and praising him. We were created for praise. We exist that we might glorify him, enjoy him, praise him. May that be what we do as we continue through this Christmas Eve, through all day tomorrow. Keep these things in your minds. Tell people about him. Marvel at him. Ponder at him in your heart towards all that he's done, and glorify him and praise him. That's the proper response to Christmas. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son. Lord God, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for this salvation that is just amazing. What a Father you are to give us your Son. Christ, we thank you for coming. We thank you for humbling yourself and becoming a man, living perfectly, fulfilling all righteousness, and then dying for us, rising again on the third day, and forever reigning as our Lord and as our Savior. Lord God, help us to respond properly to these things. This is Christmas. Lord, almost the entire world celebrates Christmas in one way or another. In every nation, there's some kind of Christmas celebration taking place. May we, your people, celebrate Christmas in such a way that it is just praise and glory and honor towards you. We adore you. We're amazed at you. May our hearts be glad. May there be smiles upon our faces and joy in our hearts, for we've received the greatest gift that could ever be given. We praise you this night. In Jesus' name, amen.